wanted to say a couple of things and also read a short passage from a book that I think you might find interesting. So a couple of just short things. Jack Kornfield is a very well-known meditation teacher. When he first began to study meditation, he went over to Southeast Asia, and I think he was one of what they call the forest monks. One day he went to his teacher and he said, I have a problem. And the teacher said, well, what's the problem? And he said, well, when I sit, I tend to get very drowsy and I start falling asleep and so forth. So his teacher said to him, well, when that happens, or when you sit, imagine that you're sitting on the edge of a well, and that if you get drowsy and you fall asleep, you're going to fall into the well. So I encourage you that if you feel that you're getting drowsy or sleepy and that it's affecting your practice, imagine that you're sitting on the edge of a well or some high cliff or something like that, and if you feel yourself getting drowsy, imagine that you will fall over into that empty space. That might help. And also, when you sit, you want to try to keep your head erect and just slightly facing downward. With your eyes, you can either close them or just leave them partially open so that you can see out from under them. But you might find that technique for drowsiness to be helpful. The other thing, just when I come into the Zendo in the mornings and there's nobody in the Zendo, what I like to do is the bell out there, I like to ring it and sort of let the spirits in the Zendo know that you've arrived and move the energy around. And then when I sit, and if there's not many people in the Zendo or if there's no one else here, anytime I think you sit, so there's all these empty cushions and zafus, and it doesn't have to be here, it could be anywhere, but I always feel that you're supported by all what they call all the Buddhas in the 10 directions, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, in the past, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to come, all the ancestors and so forth, that your meditation practice is not just you, but in your meditation practice, you're supported by all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So that may also, when you practice, you never really practice alone. I think that's also, a non-self teaching. And when you come into a Zendo, I think it's always good, even if you feel like you're running late, and if everything starts at a certain time and you feel like you're running late, take your time when you come in. When you enter the door, take a nice deep breath and take in the energy of the place and slow down a little bit. Okay, this is a book. It's called The Heart Sutra. It's a comprehensive guide to the classic of Mahayana Buddhism, and it's written by Kazekai Tanahashi. And also, the translations are also by Joan Halifax, who's a Zen teacher that you might be more familiar with. So this is actually on the chapter here. It's a short chapter. It's called Loving Kindness. But what I thought was interesting about this is it's actually a translation and a discussion of a chant we do, Enmeijuku Kanonjo. So I've been chanting Enmeijuku Kanonjo for many, many years without really having any idea what the literal translation of Enmeijuku Kanonjo is. So I don't know if any of you know what the literal translation of Enmeijuku Kanonjo is, but if you do, wonderful. If you don't, you'll hear it. There's a little paragraph before this chapter starts that I'm just going to read because I think you might find it helpful. And the author says, I see the Heart Sutra mantra as a powerful tool for meditation, a double-edged sword of human consciousness. One edge reminds us of the joy of practice and life. The other protects us from the confusion and fragmentation of our consciousness. Thus, you may see the Heart Sutra mantra as a constant reminder of our awakened nature that keeps wisdom beyond wisdom working effectively. Loving kindness. Because wisdom beyond wisdom is not separate from loving kindness, we may also need a reminder and reinforcement for loving kindness. For that purpose, the incantation of a short text
called the 10-line life-affirming sutra of Avalokiteshvara, translation, Enmejuku Kananjo. So the translation of Enmejuku Kananjo is the 10-line life-affirming sutra of Avalokiteshvara. And the purpose of using that is to show that the Heart Sutra, or the Wisdom Beyond Wisdom, is not separate from loving kindness. The Japanese verse goes like this, and then he translates what it says. So I'm not going to read that because we're familiar with it. This sutra is usually chanted aloud many times, each time with increased speed and volume. Joan Halifax and I translated this scripture as follows. Avalokiteshvara, perceiver of the cries of the world, takes refuge in Buddha. Will be a Buddha, helps all to be Buddha, is not separate from Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, being eternal, intimate, pure, and joyful. In the morning, be one with Avalokiteshvara. In the evening, be one with Avalokiteshvara, whose heart moment by moment arises, whose heart moment by moment remains. So I think one of the real fruits of Zen practice is learning how to listen in a deep and non-confrontational way. That's portrayed in the fact that the ears of Avalokiteshvara and the ears of the Buddha are often portrayed as enlarged, which is kind of interesting when you think about the other sense organs, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the mouth, are not necessarily portrayed as enlarged, even though Buddha taught for 45 years. What's enlarged is the ears. Oftentimes it's about listening, and that's what Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva is known for, to perceive the cries of the world, and takes refuge in Buddha, will be a Buddha, helps all to be Buddhas, is not separate from Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, being eternal, intimate, pure, and joyful. In the morning be one with Avalokiteshvara, in the evening be one with Avalokiteshvara, whose heart moment to moment arises, whose heart moment to moment remains. So I'm going to give this chapter to Bill so he can send it out. It may or may not be a practice circle, but I thought it would be interesting if people had it. He talks about, jumping ahead a little bit, he talks about Bodhisattva. And what he says is, Bodhisattva has already become an English word. And yet, as it is such a rich word, it is not always easy to understand what it means in different contexts. Joan and I translated this word in our version of the Heart Sutra as, quote, who helps all to awaken, close quote. I would personally like to see Avalokiteshvara as a goddess, partly because the concept of a goddess is not confined to Buddhism. It is my hope that people will take up an interfaith view of this bodhisattva. We all need an ideal image of loving kindness that is central to wisdom beyond wisdom. When faced with the choice to be indifferent, insensitive, and violent, or to be kind and loving, a role model could help us to make a positive and life-affirming decision. Thus holding Avalokiteshvara in our consciousness and invoking the name of the goddess is potentially a powerful practice. We may ask ourselves, are you a goddess of loving kindness? You might say, no, I am a human being, or no, I am a man, how can I be a goddess? But the 10-line life-affirming sutra of Avalokiteshvara calls us to be one with Avalokiteshvara. Why not imagine then, no matter how else we may define ourselves, that we are also one with the goddess? So let me ask you again then, are you a goddess of loving kindness? So that's a good koan to work with.